prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's Thursday, which means I'll be joined by my co-host, Brooks Kubik, in just a moment. We've got a really powerful, two powerful messages to deliver today on Physical Culture Radio. I promise you're going to be engaged. Some of you may even feel emotions. We'll discuss two topics shortly. Before we get started with that, I have to mention a couple things. First of all, on Science, The Last Science for Humans, Dr. Jeff offered to give away another 48 bottles of VitaDrive. VitaDrive is a multivitamin formulated specifically for hard training athletes and individuals. Go to superhumanradio.com at the bottom right-hand corner. You'll see a banner that says, Ask the Scientist. Ask Dr. Jeff for a free sample of VitaDrive. 48 bottles will be given away. If you're listening to this podcast late, a day, a week after, don't assume that they gave away all 48 bottles, because a lot of people are reluctant to give it a go. A lot of people go, oh, they must be gone in the first minute, and in fact they're not, and everybody gets a consolation prize anyway. If the 48 bottles are gone, you'll get samples of something else from All American EFX Sports. So check that out. And without further ado,
you're listening to Physical Culture Radio, home of dinosaur training. Now, here's the keeper of the flame of physical culture, Brooks Kubik.
You know what I was just thinking, Brooks?
What's that?
For a culture that dwells in the physical, there's a lot of deep thought that goes on in this show.
That's true. It's not all sets and reps, as I often say.
But isn't that true of the physical culture community as a whole? Aren't we completely misunderstood as lunkheads, where if you grunt during a deadlift, somebody has to hit the alarm, or self-absorbed muscle heads, you know, that they're portrayed in the movies all the time about bodybuilder types? Don't you think that most of us are very, very deep, thoughtful, well-rounded, multifaceted people who just, physical culture just brings out the best in us?
I absolutely do, and I think that the traditional stereotype of the dumb jock, the dumb athlete, the dumb strongman, dumb bodybuilder, dumb powerlifter, you know, that sort of thing, has been around for a long time. The great line was when the newspaper reporter was interviewing Doug Hepburn back in the 50s. I think this was after Hepburn had won the World Weightlifting Championship. And so here's Doug Hepburn, who's like legitimately one of the biggest and strongest men in the world in his generation. And this reporter, who's probably half his size or less, says, Mr. Hepburn, what is it like to be all brawn and no brain? And Hepburn looks at him and he says, I don't know. What's it like to be neither?
That's classic. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And Strength and Health magazine was all through the 30s and 40s picking up on stuff that, quote, experts would write. And you'd see it in the mass media. You'd see a newspaper article by, you know, an eminent psychologist or psychiatrist or educator or philosopher, you know, someone who was basically putting down muscle heads or weightlifters or bodybuilders or whatever, and, you know, making disparaging remarks. But, you know, they would say, they have big muscles, but they're muscle bound, or they, you know, these are men whose sexuality is non-existent, or they would say, you know, they don't work, they don't contribute to society, they're not athletic, they're not this, they're not that, or they're dumb. And you have the inferiority thing going. You know, people say, well, these are men with an enormous inferiority complex, and they overcompensate by building massive bodies because they're really just, you know, they feel inferior to everyone else, blah, blah, blah. That's always been around. You know, I think it always will be. We could go into the reasons for it. I would suggest that the people who make those comments probably need to do some serious self-reflection.
Well, you know what? I just wrote this down mm-hmm. as a future topic.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? So let's get on to the subject at hand, and that is the heroes in our lives. With the passing of Roddy Piper, which you let me know, and we had a moment of silence in honor of the world community recognizing a moment of silence in what was 1:30 Eastern time, 10:30 mm-hmm. Pacific time. Many people knew Roddy Piper. He was a loved professional wrestler and physical culturist. And that prompted you to write a blog, right?
Well, it did. That combined with saying everything in social media and, you know, getting tons and tons of emails about this, you know, that reminded me that a lot of us have sort of a shared story. And the story goes something like this. I was walking down the street, and I looked in the window, and they had some magazines for sale at the store. Or I walked into the magazine store, and I saw a magazine. And the magazine had a guy on the cover who had more muscles than I'd ever seen in my life, and I couldn't believe it. And I said right then, right there, I want to be that guy. I want to be him. And there are so many people who have shared that story, that experience. I did an interview with Bill Hinburn. It's up on YouTube. You can Google for my name and Bill Hinburn's name and find that five-part interview. But, you know, I asked Bill, how did you get started? And he told literally the story that I just shared with you. Dave Draper was on the cover of a Weider magazine. Hmm. That's what got Bill Hinburn started. And so, you know, a lot of people have that. A lot of people watch pro wrestling when they were younger, and they saw some extremely well-developed, strong, powerful, well-conditioned wrestler. And
Bruno Sammartino was it for me.
Oh, absolutely, and Bruno Sammartino was it for a number of
the children of Italian immigrants.
Well, a number of my readers. I mean, every time I write something about Bruno Sammartino, you know, I get flooded with emails and stories about Bruno. And, you know, I got the Bruno Sammartino bodybuilding course when I was a kid.
Huh.
Ordered it for $2 from the back pages of a wrestling magazine. You know, so Bruno Sammartino was one of my childhood heroes, as he was the childhood hero of many. Others had stars in other sports who were their hero, their motivating factor. I remember I got an advertising brochure from Joe Weider for the Weider bodybuilding, muscle building course. I never bought the course because it cost too much money, but I got the advertising material for it. And I remember that they had a page about how weight training would make you a champion athlete, and they had a photo of Mickey Mantle.
Wow.
You know, who at the time was, you know, one of the heroes of baseball, and he was working out with some wall pulley weights, and they quoted somebody as one of his teammates as saying, I believe Mickey Mantle is the strongest man in the world.
Huh.
And I remember thinking, wow, you know, I never knew that. You know, obviously that made an impression because here I am 50 years later. I still remember that.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah, and so many of us have shared memories. You know, go back to Roddy Piper. We remember this match, the WrestleMania match, or we remember a match from Georgia Championship Wrestling, or, you know, whatever. We remember his great line, I've come here to kick ass and chew bubble gum. And I'm all out of bubblegum. You know, when he was in the movies, you know, and people, they have these memories, and we, so many of us have the same memories, you know, and we have memories about other heroes, about sporting events, championship performances, Yeah, you know, I could start rattling things off, and you or anyone else who's listening would say, oh, yeah, I remember that. You know, the Miracle on Ice, ice hockey, remember that? Yeah, you know, of course, we all do it. It, you know, it goes on and on. Boxing, wrestling, the Olympics, weightlifting, powerlifting, World's Strongest Man, bodybuilding contests, you know, and then, you know, we remember scenes from movies that Arnold was in, Clint Eastwood, John Wayne, you know, all of our heroes. We remember these things. They're very important to us. And that got me thinking, and that was the subject of today's post of the Dinosaur Training blog, you know, that got me to thinking, all of us really draw a lot of inspiration from our heroes. And typically the heroes of our childhood or the heroes of our youth or our young adulthood. But those memories stay with us. Those heroes stay with us. And when we lose one, such as losing Roddy Piper, who,
and so young. And so
yeah,
young. He was only 4 years older than me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. That hits home. That might be something we want to pick up at the other side of the segment. How do you deal with the loss of a hero, particularly at an early age? But, you know, the loss of a hero and bringing back all of those memories makes you realize these people play a very important role in our lives and in our training and in, you know, doing all of the right things. Because what you do is you model. And you try to be the person that is like your hero or that your hero would want you to be. And that starts to become a very interesting self-reinforcing success mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people do that, right? Like, what would this person want me to do in this situation? And, you know, quite often, what you find that they want you to do is what your better self knows is the right thing to do anyway. But because you feel like it's what they would do, you follow this plan over what you think you should do anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's like somehow thinking that they would endorse. I mean, come on. The thought came in your mind. You don't know what Roddy Piper would want you to do in a certain situation. It may be contrary to what you actually think he would. But the point is you somehow make our hero's opinion somehow more important or more valid than our own.
It's a very interesting phenomenon. And as I note in the blog post, you know, this is something that's been around forever. You know, human beings have always had heroes. We know that from ancient cultures. You know, you've got Hercules, Ulysses, Odysseus in the Greek, Ajax, Achilles, you know, great warriors, great athletes, great strong men, really, you know, have always been our heroes. Hiawatha in Native American culture.
And
you know, every culture has its heroes. It's almost like there's a human need to have heroes. And it's a good thing, I think. It can be a very empowering thing. And particularly in strength training and physical culture, because it seems to be tied so closely to what got us training in the first place. You know, typically it was seeing someone else and saying, I want to be that person. I want to be like that. I want to be able to do that.
Well, you know, and you know where that comes from, right? When you look at that person, you have a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And you want people to look at you and have that same feeling. When you look at that person, whatever it is, you're in awe, you have immense respect, admiration, gratification, gratitude, whatever it is that you're feeling at that moment, the connection is you look at them and you think, wow. And then the next thought is, I want to be like them. What you're saying is, I want people to look at me and go, wow, for the same reasons.
Yeah, and you know, I remember sort of putting it together as I look at a bodybuilder on the cover of a bodybuilding magazine, and I think, he must be super strong because he's got huge muscles. And then I think, if I had muscles like that, I'd be super strong. And then I would go to, and I would be a champion in, you know, fill in the name of the sport. And that was my motivation. It was kind of like a 1, 2, 3, 4. And, you know, and then being the champion in the sport means basically everyone treats you as a champion, you know, and, you know, you're at an age where attracting girls is really important. You know, that's, you know, it, when we were young in our world, you know, it was either cars or girls, and if you didn't hit, or I'm sorry, cars or sports, you know, there's really no other way to attract girls.
Girls,
you,
right.
You know, so it's like if you don't have a car, you know, you got to figure out what sport you're good at. But, it's a really strong, you're almost a primal urge.
Absolutely. So you gave an exercise out
mm-hmm.
in the blog. Let's talk about that when we come back. We're talking with Brooks Kubik. His website is brookskubik.com. And we're going to talk about some of the books that he's released recently a little bit later in the show. He's got a lot of good books. If you go to Amazon.com and just search for Brooks Kubik, you'll be amazed at some of the amazing books on how to build primitive levels of strength and conditioning. We'll be right back with more Physical Culture Radio.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Kubik's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookskubik.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Kubik's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Kubik's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookskubik.com right now.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4255. 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Physical Culture Radio. So we're talking about, during this first section of the show, segment of the show, about the heroes in our lives. So Brooks, you did a blog post where you asked people to perform a specific exercise. I got to tell you, at first glance, I can't remember who my heroes are. I can't think of who my heroes are. You think that's common for people when you ask them who are your heroes? Or you think that more successful people can answer that question faster?
I think that successful people could probably answer that question quickly because they know. And interestingly, you know, that would be a great question if you were doing a job interview. You know, it's probably not your number one question for speed dating, but it's a great question for a job interview. And it really, you know, it really focuses on the exercise that I outlined in the blog, which is sort of a getting to know the people, the things, the events that motivate and inspire you, and or really remembering the people, events, and things that motivate and inspire you. And that's something that, you know, it sounds like kind of a touchy-feely thing, or, you know, it's sort of like, you know, what are we going to do? Drink some herb tea? What will we do this exercise? You know, no, this is one of those mental things that can have tremendous benefit, tremendous positive impact in the physical realm. Mm-hmm. You know, because the mental realm, the emotional realm, the physical realm, they're all tied together, and this is a way to really use what's going on in your brain and in your heart to help what's going on in the gym, to help when you train. So here's the exercise. And this is really important for all those people who, if you ask, who are your heroes, they have to stop and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You get a piece of paper. Don't do this on electronic media. Use paper. Paper, pen, pencil.
Tactile.
Yeah. It has to be tactile, and get away from the pixels. Get away from the interruptions. Go to a quiet place. Turn off your cell phone. Turn off your mobile devices. Turn off your computer. Take the phone off the hook. Put the pets outside or in another room, whatever. Hang a do not disturb sign on the door. Give yourself 30 to 60 minutes of silence. Which, by the way, Carl, I don't know if you've done a show on it or not, but if everybody gave themselves 30 to 60 minutes of silence every day,
that alone,
what a positive change that would be for the world. I guess it's against our self-interest to say that when we're doing a podcast, but you know, listen to the show, but then give yourself the 30 to 60 minutes of silence.
Right.
So you sit down someplace where you're comfortable and you can write. You put your piece of paper down, and now just start to list all of the different heroes of your youth. And you'll be astonished what you start writing. It may take a couple seconds, and then you write a name, and then that reminds you of someone else, and then that reminds you of someone else, and all of a sudden you're just writing name after name. And it's all coming not from your conscious mind, but from your subconscious. And that's why you need the silence, and you need to just almost be a vehicle for your subconscious to write something out. And for that reason, it's very important that you turn off your self-censor. There's no filter involved. You cannot, you know, don't worry about being politically correct.
You don't have to show this list to anybody, so don't worry about who you choose as your heroes.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if you had a childhood hero and that person has had a bump in the road of life, and maybe now they're no longer your hero, or maybe they're no longer anybody's hero, doesn't matter. They were your hero once. Put them on the list. Just forget the filter, forget the PC. And as Carl said, this is your list. No one else is going to see it. You know, you're not going to share it with anybody. You're not going to email it to Carl. You're not going to email it to me. You're not going to get on Facebook and say, oh, here are my heroes. You know, it's not a contest. It's an exercise for you to get into your subconscious and remember again who inspired and motivated you to start training. And then as you start going through, you know, the list of people, that's going to pull events because people are memorable to you and important to you because of things that they did. So this is going to tie in, you know, bodybuilding contests, powerlifting contests, sporting events, boxing matches, you know, wrestling, someone you saw at the gym, your Uncle Joe, who was the strongest man in the neighborhood, the guy that you saw move the neighbor's piano into the house, carrying it on his back, you know, just all these memories are going to start coming back to you. And just, you know, write them down. And you're probably going to blend over or bleed over into movies, popular culture, TV shows, whatever. Just let it go. You know, open up. And I guarantee that a lot of stuff is going to come back to you that you may not have consciously thought of for years. Simple thing. Carl, do you remember a television show called Then Came Bronson?
Yeah, of course. Michael Parks.
Okay. Well,
he was so cool on his little Sportster motorcycle, right?
Yeah, and
in fact, that's where I first heard the word zitsy or zit to describe a pimple on your face was on Then Came Bronson. That's
okay.
Where the word started.
Okay. Well, and do you remember the opening sequence? He's on the
motorcycle cruising through the highway. Yeah.
Yeah, and he pulls up. There's a light, and he pulls up, and there's a guy.
Yeah, the guy, the square in the suit in the car looking over at him.
Yeah, with the family and
yeah.
The station wagon.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Here's the deal. I have seen people post that, like on Facebook, or make a reference to it. I think I read a blog post, something totally unrelated. Someone made a reference to Then Came Bronson. And what happened, and you saw this in the comments to the blog post, what happened was, People didn't remember it. It's like, Then Came Bronson, what are you talking about?
Yeah, who's that?
And they Googled for it, and they found on YouTube the opening sequence to the TV show, Then Came Bronson, where the guy on the motorcycle pulls up to the square in the suit and the station wagon, and they have a conversation. And I'm not going to share it because I want people to do that, to look it up. Okay. And what happened, people started reporting in the comments to the blog, they said, oh, I remember that. That was a great show. I'd forgotten all about it. Yeah, that was great. That was like the greatest opening to any show ever. Okay? And I had the same reaction. I was like, I remember that.
Yeah.
You know, but my conscious mind, I was like, then came Bronson. Who was that? You know?
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get those memories where you say, oh, yeah.
The memories of the people or even the characters, because yeah. they may not have been real people, that shaped your life.
Absolutely. And so what happens as you're doing this exercise, you start moving into TV shows, social media, you know, it might be music, it might be song, it, you know, whatever.
We have to take a break, but I have to tell a story now because okay. it's just coming back to me, these connections. Uh-huh. I want to tell a story about how that intro of Then Came Bronson affected me.
Okay, see, later on in life. This is proof that
yes.
what I'm talking about works.
Yes, I got chills just now. All right, stay tuned, we'll be right back.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training, won't disrupt endocrine function, and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex. Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I'm a business owner. I'm in a high-stress situation. I'm also a CrossFit athlete. I'm constantly active. I need something that protects me for 24 hours and beyond. I've tried every natural deodorant out there. There is nothing that compares to this deodorant.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than $19.99
17 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. Okay, this is live radio at its best, okay? So, I actually got on the line here with Brooks during the break. I actually have the Then Came Bronson intro from season one, 1969, when the show first came out. I want to play this intro, and then I want to tell you about something that happened to me as a little kid, and I just made the connection now when I turned 17, 18 years old, the effect it had on my life, and I didn't put it together until just this second.
And I want to note that you and I did not rehearse this.
No. This is live radio at its best.
I had no idea I was even going to mention Then Came Bronson.
No, I wasn't. I mean, who thinks about Then Came Bronson? It was a show for when I was 11 years old. I'm not thinking about TV shows. So first, let me play the intro. Let me set it up. The intro of the TV show, it's a busy city street. It's actually a four-lane street, two going each way, in California. Traffic. You have to remember the cars in 1969, Impalas, Bel Airs, all that sort of stuff. And there's a motorcycle pulling up to a light next to a station wagon. Okay, so I'm going to play the clip, and I hope this was not rehearsed, so I'm hoping this all works well. Just sit tight. You hear the Harley engine.
Taking a trip?
What's that?
Taking a trip.
Yeah.
Where to?
Oh, I don't know. Wherever I end up, I guess.
Well, I wish I was you.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, hang in there.
Okay, so let's just recap what just took place. So he pulls up next to the guy in the station wagon. The guy in the station wagon has a fedora on. He has, you know, a suit jacket on. Michael Parks pulls up next to him on his Harley Davidson Sportster with a bedroll. For those of you who don't know what a bedroll is, it's a sleeping bag. It's the kind you can roll up. It has a very small form factor. It's the kind that was given away early military issue. You remember them, right, Brooks?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He has a bedroll strapped to his front handlebars. He has a skull cap on and sunglasses. He pulls up next to the guy. The guy looks over at him whimsically, looks at the motorcycle, looks back up at him and goes, taking a trip? And, you know, he says, yeah. He goes, where to? And he goes, I don't know yet. So this conversation, you got the guy who's stuck in his 9-to-5 life. You got the guy who, wherever the journey takes him and unfolds, that's where he's going. And he goes, man, I wish I was you. And Bronson looks at him and goes, yeah, well, hang in there. Like, in other words, don't give up. And he pulls away. Next thing you know, you see Michael Parks driving down the beach on his Sportster, free, open, beautiful. Okay, I remember watching that as a kid and thinking, that's got to be the best way to live your life. Like, you just get on your motorcycle and you go. And nothing holds you back. Nobody owns you. You're not tied to anything at all. You go where you want to go, and you sleep where you want to sleep because you got your sleeping bag with you. It's like like the nomadic style of life. Well, when I turned 17 years old, I bought my first Harley Davidson Sportster. Now, keep in mind, I did not think about Then Came Bronson when I bought that Sportster. But that I watched Then Came Bronson until it went off the air. That show was the coolest show. I thought Michael Parks was cool. Everything they did was cool. I bought my first Sportster when I was 17 years old, rebuilt it, painted it, and I put a sleeping bag that I got from a buddy of mine who was in Vietnam. It was a goose down green sleeping bag, military issue. In fact, it's the same bag that they zipped your dead body up in if you got killed, because the only thing that showed was the face. And he gave it to me years and years before that on a hunting trip. I used to strap that to my sissy bar, not my handlebars. And I regularly used to leave Queens, where I was living at the time, by myself and head out upstate New York to places like Brewster and Caxsackie and little towns like that, and get up there on a Friday afternoon, Friday evening, hang around. I used to go to Woodstock all the time, find a tavern to drink at, sit and drink. And then that night, wherever I ended up, I ended up. If I made friends and I slept at their house. If I didn't, I had my bedroll. I had slept on the viaducts numerous times on the freeway.
Wow.
And so I just realized that that wanderlust, that what a motorcycle meant, crystallized when I used to watch that intro. Like, man, that's the life I want. And I actually had it for a period of time.
And that all came from watching the show.
Yeah, I didn't know motorcycles before that. I lived in Brooklyn. No, there was no, you know, this was L.A. we were looking at. This is California's free and easy spirits, open roads, you know, shorelines and seashores. Man, yeah. I never put it together till this second.
Well, you know, that shows the power of what I'm talking about. That, you know, the power of the things that are buried away in your subconscious that motivate and inspire you. And you know, just talking about this exercise that I want people to do, just talking about it on the air, somehow led me to mention that show. And immediately, Carl, you went into a holy mackerel. I just, wow. I just put two and two together.
I wanted to be that guy who looked over at the other guy and said, well, hang in there, and pulled away and went on. And I did. I did it for a long period of my life.
And what you did not want to be was the guy who was in the 9-to-5 job,
no,
trapped, who said, you know,
I'm part of the grind. I wish I was you.
I wish I was you. I mean, what a powerful line, powerful message. You know, and it's sort of, you know, it's interesting because earlier in the show I was using the phrase, you know, you go, you see a muscle magazine, you see the guy on the cover, and you say, I wish I was him, which is almost the line from the show, I wish I was you.
Right.
You know, chance meetings like that can be incredibly impactful.
You don't realize what's going to guide your psyche and eventually mold your life.
Yeah, yeah. And so what I like to do is to really work, and, you know, I emphasize this is personal stuff. You don't share it with other people. But go through the exercise, you know, write on the piece of paper the people, the events, the things that inspire and motivate you, the things that got you into training, the things that kept you training or keep you training. If you stopped training and you got back into it, you know, pick up the exercise at that point in time and say, okay, what was it that got me back into training? What motivated me? What was, you know, important? And what you'll find, you end up with a piece of paper. You know, you put stars by the really important things. You circle the important things. You underline them. You know, if things are connected, you draw arrows. You know, if you start with, you know, one sports star and that led to another and that led to another, you know, you draw lines, you know, whatever. Make it as detailed as you need or make it as simple as you want. It doesn't matter. It's your document. But what you end up with is a piece of paper that captures the essence of what got you into training and what keeps you training. And then you put it in an envelope and you put it away in a private place. And every once in a while you pull it out and look at it.
See what still applies, see what you're staying true to.
Yeah, and you know what you'll find is that going back and just, you know, going through the things that inspire you, the things that motivate you, is in itself a very inspiring and motivating exercise. You know, it's sort of like, you know, if John Wayne is your childhood hero and you love John Wayne and you do the John Wayne you know, Thanksgiving marathon weekend where they show 27 John Wayne movies back to back, you know, you'll probably come out of that ready to go to the gym and, you know, set a new personal record and everything. It's the same sort of thing. And it sounds, you know, when you articulate it, it sounds silly, but it's not. I mean, this is really, really, really important stuff. And in its own way, it's more important than sets and reps and exercises and workout schedules. I mean, this goes beyond that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, this is where it all starts.
And one other thing I want to close on before we take this break. If you are hard-pressed and you can't find heroes, or if the heroes that you had before don't fit your life now, find new heroes. Find new heroes. Find other people that will inspire you to be the person that you believe you want to be. You know? I mean, that's it. But this was great. This was like therapy for me. I can't believe it.
That's just the most amazing thing. And, you know, as I said, this was unscripted. We had no idea. And look where we ended up.
I have to dig up some pictures of me when I was 17 and 18 years old. I wore, my hair was long and curly.
Uh-huh.
I had a large bear claw on my neck from a bear that I shot, not something I bought at some gift shop.
Whoa.
You know.
Whoa.
My motorcycle always had, or almost always had, a bedroll on it, except when it rained, because I left my motorcycle out most of the time.
Mm.
And that bedroll got wet because it was goose down.
Wow.
I loved the feeling of leaving and not knowing where I was going. And ending up, my mother used to say I was a stray, I think sometimes you're a stray cat, she used to say to me. Because, you know, you're just like, well, where did you stay last night? I met these people, you know, at Rum Bottoms in Long Island, and I ended up crashing at this person's house.
Wow.
Or I ended up sleeping on Jones Beach last night. You know, I loved sleeping on the beach. I got the best night's sleep on the beach. And there were always other people who hung out and slept on the beach, too. So you weren't alone. It wasn't like I was all alone. There were other people that ended up there at the end of the night, maybe 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. And everybody would just crash there. And, you know, most people brought bedrolls and everybody went to sleep. In the morning you woke up. And I mean, it was such a great life. It was such a free life. And it's what you could do when you're young, before you have a 9-to-5 and kids and everything else that goes along with that. But, this was really amazing. This was really, really amazing. I got such a kick out of it. So right, let's take a break. We're going to change it up a little bit. In the next segment, we're going to talk about a concept of don't fear the reaper, and we'll reveal what that means when we come out of the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For the best in real world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
You drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds and bacteria. That's unless you drink Nutra Cafe. Nutra Cafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. Nutra Cafe tastes amazing because it's low acid and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Nutra Cafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one Nutra Cafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else?
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use Superhuman Curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Physical Culture Radio with Brooks Kubik and myself. If you'd love to read some great books about physical culture, you can go to Amazon.com and just search for Brooks, K-U-B-I-K, Kubik, and you'll find a series of paperbacks and e-books in Kindle version that you can download immediately. And not only does Brooks write about important technologies related to building muscle, gaining strength and conditioning, and an amazing cookbook with ancestral dietary templates in it, ancestral templates that we adhere to in this physical culture community. We're going to talk more about this in a minute, actually. But he's the only person I know that writes physical culture fiction. Have you ever wanted to know what kind of person John Grimmick really is or was? What it would have been like to like spend time with him and talk with him, sit down and have a meal with him? Brooks does this through many of his novels about physical culture. So I don't know anybody who creates the dimensions in physical culture that Brooks Kubik does. So check it out. Show him some love. So over the past, I'd say 6 months, I've started talking about things on the show, but very cautiously, because I don't want to be misunderstood, about evolution. Many of you, if you've listened to the show often enough, if you're an avid listener, you know I've talked about things like thinning of the herd, and maybe the superhumans are the ones that'll be left on the planet after this all shakes out. And I actually was not very articulate about it when Alex Leap was on the show earlier this week, and I started to go down this road, and I I was going in a direction, but I stopped. And the reason I stopped is because I don't want the audience to think that I'm like doom and gloom or even talking about things that not necessarily aren't politically correct, but people just don't want to talk about for whatever reason. What would you call that category, Brooks?
Things that people find disquieting,
yeah.
Or they just prefer not to think about them or be reminded about them.
Right. And actually, I changed my direction on the discussion the other day with Alex, and some of you may have thought I was just meandering and roaming around with thoughts, and it was because I didn't want to say what I wanted to say, but I'm going to say it today. But I want to say before I say this that I'm not suggesting anything is sinister afoot in the world. I'm not suggesting that what I'm about to say is absolutely accurate. It's just my interpretation of what's going on right now. And the reason I'm more willing to talk about it is because of an article that was published today in the scientific community. And I'm going to just read the title to kind of set the discussion up. Computer scientists have run a model and they find that mass extinction can actually accelerate evolution. And this is actually a thought that I've had. So let me lay it out. Like the what do you call it? The elevator pitch? What did you call it the other day?
the elevator speech, the short version.
Yeah, we got three floors we're going on. Let me lay it out real quick, and then we're going to tear it apart and kind of pontificate on it. I've been thinking that chronic disease and all this sort of stuff that's going on is causing a thinning of the herd. We have children who will not have children. We have adults whose lifespans are being impaired and health spans. We have people developing Alzheimer's at younger and younger ages. Now it's 40. It'll be 30. It'll eventually be 20. And while this isn't the kind of mass extinction that we see from an ice age or a plague, it undoubtedly is going to erase certain gene lines from the gene pool maybe 300-400 years from now, maybe 500 years from now. And it started me thinking that the people who survive and come out the other end, for whatever reason, whatever traits they had, whatever genetic predispositions they had or don't have that allowed them to come out the other end of this, will actually be a more refined, stronger, more resistant to these problems human of the species. And I believe it's us. I'm not saying that like, oh, you know, it's us, we're the chosen people. I'm saying I think that people who had subscribed to the ancestral diet, they subscribe to activity and exercise is good for you, be active, you know, don't be a sloth. We choose for supplementation over pharmaceutical drugs. We don't just agree with everything that the mainstream says about what's healthy and what's not. We're cautious about our food, and we're passing this on to our children, by the way, by example. I actually think it's us. We're the ones that are going to end up being that form of human that is a more refined, more evolved specimen of the species. And so in the months to come, you're going to start hearing more and more about this, I predict. You know, this theory, well, mass extinction. I mean, global warming is going to kill everybody. It may not kill everybody. The people that don't get killed, they'll be more prepared for a warmer planet. This is an example of what I'm talking about here. And as Brooks pointed out in an earlier show a week or two ago, when we were talking about, you know, you find yourself at this stage of life, but you don't have the energy to do the things you want. The people in our audience, they have the energy. They have the strength. They want to do the things. They want to go. They're strong. They are more well equipped for this next chapter of life on this planet, I believe. Now, okay, so Brooks, chime in here.
Well, the thing that pops out to me is this. I was reading some stuff about the work of Weston Price, you know, going around primitive cultures back in, what, the 20s and 30s, and finding that primitive or so-called primitive peoples around the globe who followed a particular kind of diet, what we would refer to broadly as an ancestral diet, tended to have certain characteristics of good health. They did not have many diseases, which we label diseases of civilization. And the thing that jumped out at me this morning was, and Price, who was a dentist, uniformly noted that people in primitive cultures had very good dental health, even though they didn't have access to dental care. And their jaws and the bones of their faces were very well formed and well shaped so that the teeth fit in their mouth and they had beautiful, strong, straight teeth instead of too many teeth and a narrow jaw, which causes all kinds of problems, and which is so common in the modern world. And he attributed that in part to their thriving on an ancestral diet. And the change has happened. If you go back to the same people now, the diet has changed, their lifestyle has changed, and guess what else has changed? The shape of the mouth and the jaw, and now their teeth are all jammed together and crooked, and they have all kinds of problems. So essentially, they've experienced devolution in just a couple of generations. And it struck me, Carl, that what you're talking about is not necessarily a refinement, but perhaps going back to the better health that people experienced 100 or 120 or 150 years ago when they lived a healthier lifestyle.
Well, and that's an interesting idea because that would mean that all of this modern advances have been an excursion in the wrong direction, and now we have to get back on path and pick up where we left off and start making ground again.
Yeah, and you know, that goes back to something that you know, that I mentioned in Knife Fork Muscle and that I read about a lot in the research I did for Knife Fork Muscle. And that is that if you have what we would call primitive tribes, you know, primitive cultures, and they are eating an ancestral diet, which, you know, basically, you know, it differs depending on where they live, but the common denominator is no refined food, no refined vegetable oils, no vegetable oils of any sort, primarily olive oil perhaps being an exception in some cultures, and no sugar. Okay, that lifestyle, people have remarkably good health. If you change that diet to a modern diet, in about 20 years, you start to have all of the health problems that we have in the modern world. It only takes about 20 years to go from a culture of good health to a culture of bad health. And so what I was wondering when you were, you know, when you were talking was, I wonder how long it takes to go back and what would happen if, as events in the world push us forward in ways that some might view as terrible and others might view as challenging, which is different than terrible and not necessarily bad.
Right.
You know, could it be that we're going to get to a fairly quickly get to a place where people are actually fitter, healthier, stronger because there is less and they have less and they have to do more? In other words, be more physical in their lives.
Well, here's an interesting thing. So on that show that we talked with Alex, and some of you may have missed this, so I'm going to repeat it, Alex Leaf, I talked about reproductive fitness being the driver of evolution. But since modern medicine, we have allowed people who would not have reproduced previous to modern medicine to reproduce. And I gave myself this example. I said, look, I suffer from myopia, nearsightedness. And if, you know, 500,000 years ago, maybe even 1,000 years ago, you know, without spectacles, I wouldn't have survived very long in the environment that we had to live in then. I couldn't see far away. I wouldn't have seen that tiger stalking me. I'm dead. That's it. And I said, so, you know, the modernization of our, you know, a doctor once told my mother that the reason I needed glasses is because I sat too close to the TV and I read books too much. I was an avid reader as a child. And Alex stopped me. He said, well, that's been proven not to be true. And he talked about a study of two primitive tribes that lived side by side in a jungle area. And one had evolved to follow monoculture agricultural techniques, and the other continued to be a hunter-gatherers. And the rate of myopia in the monoculture group had increased like fivefold.
Wow.
And those who were hunter-gatherers had very few incidences of children being born with myopia. And he said, and so basically it had its own control because they lived on the same area of the forest. They lived in the same area. They ate the same foods previous to that, except one made the excursion off to modern agricultural techniques, and the others continued to be hunter-gatherers. And myopia became rampant in the, and he said, so really it's been tied to diet.
That's exactly the type of thing that I was talking about.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it here. This is it.
And you know, there's a wealth of information out there on exactly this thing, and you know, part of what it suggests is, you know, forget about social implications in society for a second, and just focus on yourself. Everything that we're saying is a reason to follow a truly healthy diet, an ancestral diet, or, you know, at the very least, give it a try. And if you're looking to being as strong and as healthy and as fit and as prepared for whatever the world might hold in the next 5, 10, 20, or 30 years, whatever, physical fitness is a huge component of that. Being healthy is a huge component of that. Being at the right body weight is a tremendously important part of it. I mean, the percentage, we've talked about this on the show, the percentage of people in civilized society who cannot walk is just appalling.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that too. We have to take a quick break. Alex just said the takeaway of all this is, if our diets hadn't changed, then we would not have chronic disease anyway.
Yeah. Bingo.
So that's a great takeaway. You know, for those out there who are making policy and saving the world and feeding the world and all that sort of stuff, they need to wake up. They're not feeding the world foods that will promote life. They're feeding the world foods that promote disease. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in 2 great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is the Physical Culture Radio episode with Brooks Kubik and myself. And we've been talking about this during this period of time. Don't fear the Reaper. And the reason we say that is because, well, the reason I called it that is because I think that there's a lot of fear out there right now of people, from people who are hearing, look, you know, mass extinction, the population is going off a cliff. And the physical culture lifestyle, which also adheres to a more ancestral diet, I don't think that we're the ones they're talking to. I think the ones they're talking about in this case here are the majority of Americans and maybe a majority of people around the globe who, you know, I keep saying the new evolutionary selection pressure is where you get your information from, what you believe. When it comes to nutrition and activity levels, you know, if you believe that all you need is 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, because the government tells you that, and you are sitting the rest of the time, you may as well order your coffin now. Just go ahead and order it now. Put it on a payment plan. You'll have it paid off in a couple years. Because Alex Leaf has posted some amazing articles linking standing and activity to heart health and leanness and everything else. I mean, it's just... If you think that's all you need is 30 minutes, I mean, the government promotes that because That's what's convenient to tell people who work all day long. We don't want a revolt. We don't want class action suits. People who are getting heart attacks saying, I'm suing my employer because in order to do my job, I had to sit at a desk for 8 hours a day, and that's what killed me. Because that's what will be. So the government's going, well, no, all you need is 30 minutes a day. You're fine. Just as long as you get 30 minutes a day, you're fine. Which we know isn't true. I'm running the stairs during commercial breaks for a reason. It's not because I'm a jerk. It's because I know I need more activity when I sit here and do this show.
You know, I love your line. It's not a line. I love what you say about our sources of information are the new evolutionary selection method. And it's absolutely true. But the related point is it's not just enough to have the information. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to act on the information.
Great point. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. And, you know, so we put out a ton of information on the show. You know, you do 10 shows a week. Is it 10 a week now?
Well, 10 hours a week, five shows a week, yeah.
Yeah, ten hours a week.
I mean, that's like, you know what, between you and me, that's like going to university. I mean, I think you're considered matriculated if you're doing 10 credit hours a week, you know?
Well, you know, I put out a tremendous amount of material. And the reason is it's I'm covering the information in different ways because sometimes it clicks with one person one way, it clicks with another person another way. I'm also doing it because in addition to information, you need motivation and inspiration. You need to, you know, get people geared up to go out and do it and keep them doing it. You know, they're very important, so you put the information out. You do the same with the show. We're doing our part of it. We're getting the information out there. But the other part is, and this is very, very important, people need to act on it. And they need to act on it in their workouts, in their training, their exercise programs. That's part one. Part two, diet and nutrition. And part three, this is what you alluded to when you were talking about, you know, you can't live a sedentary lifestyle and work out a little bit or exercise a bit and think you're healthy. It becomes a complete lifestyle approach.
Right.
And it's interesting, it used to be that physical culture was presented as a lifestyle. The physical culture lifestyle. The strength and health lifestyle. Or if you were in England and you read Health and Strength, the Health and Strength lifestyle. You know, Eugene Sandow had a book, Life is Movement, and, you know, that's the same sort of thing. It's a lifestyle. It's the way you live. You know, everything is part of being a physical culturist, if you will.
Right.
And then things started to change over into more, let's just focus on
running, exercise.
Let's just focus on perhaps exercise and diet. Some people just focus on diet. They don't focus on exercise. But the concept of the lifestyle has sort of fallen by the wayside. And, you know, lifestyle is now almost a pejorative term.
But you know why? And I'm sitting here thinking of it. You know what I'm coming back to? That then came Bronson intro, right? The guy is in the car. He's got his fedora on, his suit jacket. He's tied down to a 9-to-5. He's got kids in college. Who has time for a lifestyle when all you do is work, make money, you know, and try not to get a disease before you retire?
Or try to live long enough to hit retirement, to get the watch, and then you retire and you die, which is what people used to do, and unfortunately some still do.
Right.
You know, we've talked about that. No, you mentioned a very good point, and it's interesting. There were lots of people who were doing, you know, sort of the traveling, the vagabond lifestyle,
right,
if you will, back in the old days of strength and health, and, you know, some were doing it on horseback, horse-drawn wagon, you know, the mighty Adam traveled around from fair to fair, carnival to carnival, show to show, you know, nomadic lifestyle. You certainly had that out in California. That was sort of tied into part of the bodybuilding culture. And, you know, everybody was looking for a lifestyle that gave them strength and health and freedom. It's very important. We are way far beyond that now. And people have forgotten about the lifestyle component. But it you know, it really does become a critical part of the equation when you stop and think, you know, if I'm sitting all day, what amount of exercise, if any, is going to offset that? If I'm making poor decisions, poor choices at mealtime, you know, what amount of exercise, if any, is going to offset that? And, you know, you cover this on the show. I mean, you know, if people were to go back through the last month of shows and just say, okay, we covered this topic, this topic, this topic, and just make a list. I guess I'm talking about making lists today. I'm not sure why, but you know. But you know, if someone were to say, "What's Carl covered in the last 30 days?" Make a list. I mean, you would cover all 24 hours of someone's day. You talk about sleep. You talk about maximizing your sleep. You talk about rest, recovery, diet, nutrition, ways to maximize your nutrition. Things to eat, things not to eat, approach the exercise aspect from a wide variety of different directions with a wide variety of guests. You've had people on talking about the mental aspects of things, mindfulness. You know, I could go on and on, but the point is you're covering a whole lot of ground.
And the reality is that I'm sure a lot of people in this audience adhere to these things. They use these things. But if you went to the average person and you said, okay, let me tell a story. I have a friend whose mom has Alzheimer's disease.
Okay.
And it's progressing now, right? They're like, oh, my God, you know, she's wandering away from the house. I said, you know, first of all, she drinks a lot of wine. She's an older woman, lost her husband a few years ago. You know, she's probably in her 70s. And she's drinking a lot of wine. First of all, the wine is not a good idea for a variety of reasons. Not just that there's a potential for greater insulin resistance, but also wine will give you temporary Alzheimer's disease if you get drunk, you know. I said, but also if you get on an ultra-low-carb diet and try to raise ketone levels through dietary approaches, this could actually keep her from progressing and maybe even give her some of her brain function back. And she looked at, she's an ER nurse, this woman.
Okay. So you were talking not to the elderly woman,
to her daughter. Yeah, okay. She's an ER nurse. And of course, she's an ER nurse. So you know, she knows everything about health.
Right.
Because the mother's been on Aricept and she acts out and she wanders. And I said, and I told her this, and she looked at me first like I was crazy, I don't know if she was thinking I was crazy that this could help her mother, like a diet could help her mother, or what followed was she'll never eat that way. I said, even if it means like her being able to regain her faculty, she goes, yeah, she'll never eat like that. And then she just dismissed it and walked away. And I thought to myself, if tomorrow morning I found out I had stomach cancer, and it was a highly glycolytic form of stomach cancer, I would go home and I would abolish anything that had sugar or carbohydrates in it. I would buy proteins and fats and I would eat that to save my own life. So the information is out there, as you point out. It's here on this show. It's on your blogs. It's on lots of places. There's lots of good places to get this information. I'm not any forerunner here. So why don't people act on it then?
Wow, that's such a good question.
Can you wait through the break for that? Can we take a break and you come and stay with me with it?
That'd be great. That'll give me more time to think of an answer.
Okay, so there you go. Why don't people act on it? Alex and I talked about this earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't people act in their own best health self-interest? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
for the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
You drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds and bacteria. That's unless you drink NutriCafe. NutriCafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. NutriCafe tastes amazing because it's low acid and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the NutriCafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one NutriCafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else?
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex. It's finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
She's a very kinky girl. The kind you don't take home to mother. She will never let your spirits down. Once you get her off the street, oh girl.
Welcome back.
She likes the boys in the band. She says that I'm her all-time favorite.
I'm here with co-host Brooks Cubic. This is Physical Culture Radio. And under the umbrella of physical culture, we're talking about why don't people do the things that they know are in their own best self-interest when it comes to preserving life and health. So what's your theory?
I think it's a combination of things. I think that you have a lot of people, I'm going to be very blunt, which means I'm going to be politically incorrect, and I apologize. But you have a lot of people who are too lazy to exercise, or have let themselves go so far out of shape, get so far out of shape that exercise is almost impossible. And, you know, it's the theory of inertia. A body at rest tends to stay at rest, which describes what I'm talking about. No pun intended, but I mean, that's, you know, Newton's law of motion. A lot of people are just, they're so far out of shape, and typically this means they're so heavy that getting back into a healthy lifestyle just seems completely overwhelming.
Yes.
It's extremely, extremely difficult.
I've been there. I was thinking about that when you were talking about it.
Yeah. I mean...
I call it the point of no return. You look at yourself and you go, there's nothing, I'm done. It's almost like the analogy I've used when I've talked about this before is drowning. I almost drowned once when I was in Yugoslavia.
Oh, wow.
Right before you drown, you give in to drowning. You think, I can't go any further. I can't swim anymore. I can't keep myself above water. That's it. I'm just going to go down. And you just kind of, you almost kind of become, this relaxation comes over you because it's inevitable. And your brain goes, hey, you can stop fighting now because it's not going to work. And you just become so relaxed with the moment that you're going to drown. Now, luckily, at the last moment, I decided to try to float on my back. And that literally saved me.
Wow.
But I'll never forget that feeling of serenity and peace with giving into it. And I think that I had that same feeling when I was over 330 pounds. Like, what's the use? I'm not going to be able to get back from this. Might as well just, you know, kind of give into it.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, in today's world, 330 pounds for a man is, you know, relatively light compared to the 380 and 400 and 420 and 450 and on up, you know. So part of it, you know, you ask the question, why do people not do the things that they know they need to do? Okay, so let's talk about exercise. One is you're so far out of shape that it just seems absolutely impossible. That's one. Another one in today's world is the whole question of the role models who are in such incredible shape, it almost makes people think, I don't want to do that because it's impossible. I'll never get there. You know, personal theory of mine, when John Grimmick, for example, was winning the Mr. America contest, he had an amazing physique. But to an average man who had not trained, it served as an encouragement to train.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have someone who's literally 100 or 150 pounds heavier than John Grimmick when he won the Mr. America contest, ripped to shreds. Somebody looks at that physique and they say immediately, it's too much, I can never do it, it's impossible.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, you have some of that, but that's more of a bad excuse, bad thinking type situation. But why do people not exercise? You know, part of it is they're so far gone, it's so difficult. They're so heavy, it's so difficult. Or they're so weak, or they've made such really bad lifestyle choices for so long that it's just hard to get on the right track. So that's part of it. Part of it, and this goes into the healthy eating component as much as the healthy exercise component, in really all aspects of a healthy lifestyle, part of it is they get bad advice. You know, the government and big ag and big pharma and the big corporations have put out so much really bad self-serving advice that people are just lost. And I know the people who listen to the show know what healthy eating is and what unhealthy eating is. They know how to take control of their diets, but a whole lot of people don't. and they have all kinds of opinions, and things are floating around and coming in one after another, and they're just totally, completely confused about these issues. And that's part of it, and it's unfortunate. Part of that, though, relates to the inertia of not doing the work that you need to do to find out what really works.
Right.
You know, so, again, there's an element of personal responsibility, not only in getting up and exercising, but in looking very diligently for the good sources of information. And some people just, they can't get past that. The other thing that is going on, I think, is that we live in a society where there's almost a self-perpetuating loop or cycle of ill health. You know, young mothers get bad advice about what to feed their infants, their babies, their children. Before you know it, you have a kid who is doing nothing but living on junk food, or predominantly on junk food. You have a kid who, at age 10, is grossly obese. And things only get worse from there. That same kid doesn't want to exercise because he or she is too heavy, it's too hard. Parents don't encourage them. Same kid doesn't want to eat healthy because junk food tastes better. They're basically a junk food addict at this point in time. And it's just really hard to break out of that cycle. And, you know, you don't have physical education in the schools.
Right.
You don't have nutritional education. And, you know, if you do, it's not very good nutritional education.
Well, and like, look at the idiocy of the Sony Wii, right? Or whatever it was, the exercise games for at home. Take the kid out to the park, for crying out loud. You kidding me?
Yeah. Well, you know, and then you've got society saying, if you let your kid go down to the park or go around the neighborhood, you're a free-range parent. We're going to take the kid away, institutionalize the kid. We're going to put you in jail, parents. I mean, you know, there are just
too much.
There's yeah.
It's almost like the world is coming apart at the seams right now.
Well, it's almost like there is a collective, you know, I was going to say a collective unconsciousness or a collective derangement, where as a society we're not doing or seeing or implementing the things that we need to do. And please don't read any political. I'm being apolitical in that comment.
This has to do with people, not politics. This is
people
are causing these problems. I want to speak to the lazy thing because then we have to pull the plug on the show.
Okay.
So, I've been thinking a lot about lazy, and I've been thinking about my own challenges with the lack of caffeine when I came off caffeine, and how I had no energy, and I didn't even want to do things. I didn't have the push through attitude to do cardio and stuff like that. And I'm coming to the conclusion that the majority of Americans are lazy because of some sort of, and I hate to use the word depression because of the stigma that it has today, but there's some sort of subclinical depressive issue going on, because depression starts in the brain, but it manifests physically. You know, like my a friend of mine not too long ago sent me an email that I think I read on the last Physical Culture Radio about, you know, can you give me a pill or a drink to take?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to cut out nighttime snacking and have to exercise. I that's an example of the lack of mental energy. When he told me on the phone call after I called him about that, you know, I'm just tired. I'm just tired all the time. That manifests itself mentally. That's not peripheral. It's not like your arms are tired and you can't move them and you're like, you're tired starts in the brain. Lazy starts in the brain. So what I would agree with you is that this laziness, when we talk about lazy, we're not talking about people who are slothful, you know, they have the energy, they just don't want to use it. These people are tired, but they're tired from the neck up, and that manifests itself by the body suffering. They don't have the mental power to, like I was just running the stairs during the commercial breaks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And while I was doing that, I was thinking, I don't feel like doing this today, but I'm doing it anyway. That's because from the neck up, I got some energy in me. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
My legs are still sore from my leg day the other day, and I didn't feel like running the stairs, but I had to do it. I knew I had to do it, and so I did it. That comes from the neck up.
Well, the thing that is so difficult is making that first effort, the first step,
mm-hmm.
the first workout. It just seems impossible. But what happens if you do it, if you take that first step, if you take that first workout, if you just get up and walk down to the end of the block and back. Don't even go around the block. Walk to the end of your block and then walk back. If you just do that, what you find is that you feel a little better. You actually have a little bit more energy. It goes back to Sandow's book, Life is Movement. If you move, if you get up, if you take action, if you take responsibility, you feel better. It seems impossible, and it seems counterintuitive, because if you're tired, you think, I don't want to work out. I'm too tired to work out. If I work out, I'll just be more tired. No, working out actually gives you more energy. It makes you less tired. The problem is, it's so difficult to accept that. And so most people don't make the effort, they don't make that first step, and if they did, oh, the world would be so different.
Yeah, it would. You know, and by the way, total transparency, calling what I've been doing during the commercial breaks as running the steps is a stretch, because my legs are so sore from my last leg workout that I'm really just kind of like walking the steps. I'm not running them. I feel like I'm running, but I think if somebody looked at me, they'd go, that's not running. So anyway.
That doesn't matter. You're moving.
No, I know. But
yeah.
I mean, I feel like calling it running the steps is kind of like a lie. I feel like I shouldn't say that. That's not what I've been doing the steps. I've been walking up and down the stairs. Anyway, I hope everybody got something from this. And it's like I said at the beginning of the show, everybody thinks that those of us who are into physical culture are just, lunkheads, and we're not deep thinkers. And I think there's a lot of evidence that that's not true in this show today. Brooks, thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks for having me, Carl.
And I think we're not going to have a casual Friday tomorrow, because I have to clean this studio. If you saw this studio, you'd have a talk with me like a mom has with a teenage child. And you'd say, young man, you're not doing anything this weekend with your friends until you clean your room. Brooks, I eat while I'm on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I work the whole time I'm here. All I'm doing is work. So I really don't clean up after myself as I go along. So I think tomorrow we're going to cancel casual Friday, and I'm coming in and I'm going to have Hazel's suit on, for those of you who remember Hazel. And I'm going to clean the studio. So if we're off the air, you know why. Brooks, thanks for being here today, brother.
Yeah, sounds good, Carl. Catch you next week.
All right, take care. All right, and everybody, we'll talk to you later. We'll see if I'm going to have a show tomorrow or not. I'm betting not. So if not, we'll see you Monday.